three different things, three specific substantive arguments, and the political one is the big one. In addition to the theme of funding, which as you've been discussing for a while, is just a question of whether it's paid for, not whether it's provided. You've got the overall funding level. Republicans in the House want to cut spending below the level they agreed to back in August in the Budget Control Act, the big deficit reduction, debt ceiling increase deal that was put together. And then there's the question of the date. Republicans in the House want to just have the continuing resolution go till November 18th rather than all the way through the fiscal year. And that's a little silly since they've already agreed to the funding level for the whole year. So you've got those three substantive issues. And then the political one, which is they're doing this because they can. Republicans in the House in particular, particularly the freshman Republicans and the Tea Party folks, are saying, you know, we want to, you know, continue to make life difficult for the Democrats in the White House. And so they're using continuing resolutions, anything having to do with the budget, as a vehicle to kind of hold the rest of us hostage.
But they're holding everybody else hostage. That seems grievously unfair. And I know our federal listeners want to know what's going to happen now, what they should be watching for over the next few days to give them a little bit of a heads up about what might happen next.
I'm not, first of all, anybody who tells you they know what's going to happen is lying. I know John Boehner, the Speaker, has said there's no threat of a government shutdown, but there obviously is, since, you know, we're just a few days away from the start of the fiscal year and we don't have any appropriations, continuing resolutions, or individual bills in place. And especially this year, which has been so incredibly unpredictable, I'm not sure even if you think they're going to do everything possible to avoid it, this is the kind of situation which is very, very volatile. And all you need is one thing to happen, and we could end up having a government shutdown next weekend very easily. I would tell everybody to expect the worst and hope for the best, because I think that's where we're going with this. Now, one other thing to keep in mind, I am absolutely convinced that no matter what they agree to, it will be agreed to at the very last minute. I've had a number of Republicans, particularly Tea Party people, who have told me this year that the only thing Republicans did wrong in 95 and 96, when there were two government shutdowns, when it was Gingrich versus Clinton, that they compromised too early, that they gave up too early, that they didn't push the deal to the very last minute because they could have gotten better terms. So I am expecting that just the way we did with the debt ceiling and with the CR for 2011, this is going to go down to the very, very last minute.
We're speaking with Stan Collender, federal budget expert and partner at Corvus Communications. And what about the Select Committee on Deficit Reduction? Their work is supposed to come out just before or just around November 18th, which is why I think one of the CRs would go that far. Isn't the budget supposed to be predicated on what that committee comes up with?
No, not at all. That's the Select Committee on the Joint Select Committee on Deficit Reduction, also known as more commonly as the Super Committee, is supposed to come up with a multi-year deficit reduction plan. They've already agreed to, as part of the agreement that set up the committee, and there's a spending level for 2012 that's already put in place for appropriations. So if the committee comes up with something, it would be for 2013 and beyond. In fact, if the committee fails, or if Congress fails to pass what the super committee comes up with, this across-the-board spending cut that would be triggered wouldn't happen until January 2013. So there's the two of them really aren't connected at all. They're connected only in the sense that they both deal with, quote, the budget, unquote, but not with the same year budget.
Stan Collender is a federal budget expert and partner at Corvus Communications. So in your experience, in the time that you've spent covering this, looking into this, analyzing these sorts of things, where does this fall in the spectrum of absolutely ludicrous to a little bit scary to business as usual? Where does this lie on that?
All right. First of all, let's drop the business as usual option. I've never in my 35 plus years of watching, covering, analyzing, and doing something on the budget, have never seen anything quite like this, where people are tearing down the process or refusing to compromise just because they can, not because they should. I've talked to a number of other congressional experts. I've never seen anything quite like this at all. Nobody has. So that's why I said at the beginning, this is not business as usual. The fact that there's always been a compromise, or they've almost always averted a shutdown before, doesn't mean it's going to happen this time. And let's remember, we haven't always averted a shutdown. In 95 and 96, we didn't. And the politics of now are far more hyperpartisan, far more intractable, far more less compromising than anything that happened before.
So what would you handicap this whole thing at this point?
I think, I've been saying this for a while. As much as I'd like to believe that we're going to avoid a shutdown, I think it's entirely possible that, I mean, you want a number 50-50 that next Saturday and Sunday the government will be shut. Now, that doesn't mean that by Monday morning it won't be reopening. But there are a lot of folks in Washington, a lot of Tea Party people in particular in Washington, would like to be able to go back to their constituents and say, see what I did, see what I was willing to do. I was willing to shut down the government for what, you know, for what I stood for. That's why you should reelect me. It's not the best way to run a railroad, let alone to run a government. It's a terrible way to run a business. And, you know, I think that the exasperation I hear in both your voices is exactly right. I mean, this is about as frustrating as hell.
All right, just very quickly, in the executive branch, they still go through the motions of submitting 2013 requests mm-hmm. to the administration. The agencies do, and there will be the passbacks, and the government and the president will issue a 2013 proposal sometime around probably a month late in March. Why is the executive branch able to keep steady in the way it conducts its budget process, but it seems to have completely come unglued in the legislative branch?
Well, because the executive branch doesn't have to check with anybody else to get something done. You know, they have to get input from the agencies, but then this is the president's proposal. It doesn't have to pass. It doesn't have to be accepted. It doesn't have to get a majority. So it's just what the president wants to do, basically one man. It's almost like a parliamentary system in that sense, if the president proposing it. But then we go back into a democracy with both houses, and these days, you know, we wouldn't. I'm not sure we'd get a majority vote to declare today Monday in the House of Representatives.